Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
All right, so it is Missions Week this week. We will be receiving a faith promise offering at the end of the service, as long as I remember. No, I will. I love Missions Week, always have, always will. It's great. I really like how it's just come straight after our Vision Week this time around, which is really, I thought, cool and appropriate, and that we can share vision for next year and then straight away share about missions, because really missions is in the heart of our church and it's part of our DNA and it's so important and it's really part of our vision. And I think that the vision for our church would not be complete if we didn't talk about what God's doing around the world and what we get to be a part of and the blessing that it is to be a part of amazing things happening around the world. And so it was awesome hearing Tony and Annette this morning. I keep praying for them and for Tony and all of that, because that's a challenge, but one that I'm sure they can face with strength and keep going, because they have for such a long time. And it's just great. I just love it. Do you love it? Good. I love it. I think it's just such a part of our calling. It's part of the Great Commission. And it's just who we are meant to be, and it's how we're meant to be. So I want to share around that and some thoughts tonight, but I'm going to pray before I do so. God, thank you for this time that we have together, that we can come together, and that everybody can come here. And God, we pray that you'd really speak to us through your word, that you'd reveal something to our hearts and our lives. God, we thank you that the word of God is alive, that it's not just an old book, but it is your living, active word. And so, God, we pray that it would speak to us tonight, and God, that you would use me for your purpose. Amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. Are you excited to be here tonight? Great. You know, missions is awesome. I think, you know, we have so many great programs. If you were here this morning, where, you know, the Hiltons are doing this Christmas gift thing. So get involved with that if you want to. You know, there's great opportunities to go on short-term trips and to do lots of things. And there's lots of things that are happening that are great in everything we support. But tonight I really kind of wanted to talk more about what I really feel is the heart of missions, and really the heart of everything, and the heart of who we are and what our calling is. And so my message tonight is called Healing the Blind. If you like to write titles, that's what it's going to be called. Or you could also call it, It's a Good Thing When Jesus Spits in Your Eye. That was my subtitle. So that one was just, you know, fun. You can put that up on something. Does anybody even use Twitter anymore? I haven't even opened Twitter for like a year. Instagram's where it's at. What's next? Apparently something will have to be next because it's been too long. Anyway, you can Instagram that, tweet that, Facebook that. Just don't do anything with it. That's fine. Anyway, so yeah, healing the blind. You know, I think above any program and any thing that we can do, the greatest thing that we can do in the world, and in our world and in the world globally, is to bring someone to that point where they can accept Jesus, where they can get that healing for their spiritual blindness and see that God loves them and that he has chosen them, that he has a plan for them, that Jesus died for them on the cross and forgave them of their sins. And that is the essence of everything that we do, amen. And that is why we are here, and what we are called to do is to go and make disciples of all nations. And so as fantastic as it is to buy helmets for kids in Vietnam, and I truly mean that, you know, the real thing and the real heart of everything is that people would know who Jesus is, amen. And you know, we can fix physical needs and we can do something about physical needs, but if we ignore spiritual needs, then it's useless. I was listening to, we were listening to Hack the other day on Triple J. I don't know if anyone in the afternoon, you hear that. I was talking about this thing called a Sunday Assembly. Has anybody else heard of this? It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. It is basically, it's church, but without God. So it's this whole bunch of people who said, oh, actually, we really like going to church, but I'm not sure about God, so let's just hang out on a Sunday and we'll sing some songs. And so they were singing like Oasis and stuff. And then someone will talk like an inspirational little thing and then we'll all go home. And I was just like, what is the point of that? Like, you know, I love church, but church is not always the easiest place to be. And community by itself is pretty difficult to build. And to do that without God seemed a little bit ridiculous. Anyway, I thought that was quite funny. But, you know, it's the same with mission. If we go too far down just trying to meet people's physical needs, but we don't meet their spiritual need and that need to know Jesus, then it's pointless, yeah? And we need it both, obviously. But, you know, in church, a community is nothing without God at the center of it, without Jesus at the center of it. And all of this stuff that we're talking about family and community and kin and all of those things, they're great, but they're useless if God is not right in the middle of it. And the purpose of it isn't that God would be honored and glorified and people would have relationship with him. And that's why we do it. So I thought the whole idea of, I didn't write a message. You know, you can message in to Triple J to say, you know, what you think. I couldn't think of something good to say because I was just so angry. No, just I thought it was absurd. I just thought, why would you bother going to church if it wasn't for God? Anyway, that's all right. It was good fun. So tonight I want to share around a story. So if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to start from verse 22 and go to 26. And this story is about Jesus healing a blind man, hence the name of my message. It's nice when those things work out, isn't it? And there's some things that I really felt like God was sharing to me through that, and that he wanted to share with us just about how Jesus heals and how that whole process happens. And I guess I was thinking not just how it's happening here and how it happens to all of us, but how it happens across the world and what our calling is worldwide here in Wollongong and all over the globe in terms of that. And so we're gonna get into it. Is that cool? All right, so verse 22. It says, they came to Bethsaida, says Jesus and his disciples. And it says, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. So some people brought a blind man. So the first thing is brought, okay? These friends bring this blind man to Jesus. I think we need to understand in our local context and in a global context the power of bringing someone to Jesus. Now, that is one of the greatest things that we can do. And one of the best things that we can do as a Christian is to bring someone to Jesus and to understand that if I can just bring someone to Jesus, then he can touch their life. And these guys, they had this idea that if they could just get their blind friend to Jesus, that something miraculous would happen. They had this faith that if they could just get their blind friend to Jesus, then he could heal them. And so they bring their friend to Jesus. You know, if you're blind, you're not going to find your own way. You know, this guy, if Jesus is kind of walking to this town, he doesn't know that Jesus is walking into the town. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know that he's there because he's blind, yeah? And he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know what he looks like. So he can't find him on his own. And he needs his friends to bring him to Jesus. Do you see where that's going? You know, we live in this world that is spiritually blind. And there's no doubt about that. And we have friends who are blind and who need to see. They need healing. They need salvation. They need that spiritual healing so that they can see what's actually going on. And so we need to be people who are bringers, people who will bring our friends, because your friend is not going to bring themselves. You know, they're not suddenly just going to go, oh, I think if I find Jesus, he might heal the spiritual blindness that I don't know that I have. Like, that doesn't work, you know. And so we need to be people who are just like, if I can just bring my friend to Jesus, then he can touch their life. And how do we do that? It is about, you know, bring them to church, bring them to kin, but it's not just about that. It's about bringing Jesus with you day to day so that people can see him in your life, you know, bringing that hope, having that reason for the hope that you carry all the time and bringing that with us, yeah? You know, we could just bring, you know, every single one of us was brought at one stage. You know, I don't know what it was for you. For me, I was brought like the week after I was born by my parents and sat in the little capsule or whatever in the church. But maybe you were brought by a friend, maybe someone at work or someone at school. I don't know what it was for you, but you were brought by someone to Jesus. And we have this opportunity to be bringers. You know, so much of our call is just to be bringers, to know that if we could just bring people to Jesus, He can touch their life. Not that I can make a difference in someone's life, not that I can heal their blindness, but that I know someone who can. And when I know that He is there. Now, I think that's what's great about church, about Sunday night, and every time that we gather together, is the Bible's promise is that when we are gathered in His name, He is there. And so we know that here on a Sunday night, on a Sunday, that Jesus is going to be here. And so we can confidently bring a friend into His presence and know that they can get a touch of Him in their life. But let's be bringers. Hey? So it says they came, Jesus came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and they begged Jesus to touch him. And then verse 23, it says, He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. So the second thing here is led. You know, Jesus leads this blind man out to a point of grace. Jesus takes him out of the town where all the people were to this private space where it's just him and Jesus and where he can do a work of grace in his life. You know, we need to trust that when we bring, that Jesus will lead. You know, when we bring, that he will lead. You know, it says he led him outside the village. You know, in the same way that we can't find Jesus on our own, we can't achieve grace on our own. None of us can save ourselves by being righteous or being really good. No matter how hard you try, you won't be good enough to save yourself. We all need to be led to that point of grace where we can accept Jesus, where He can heal us. And Jesus, to this blind man, is bringing him, is leading him to this point where he can do something miraculous in his life. And we need to trust for our own lives and for the lives of the people in our city, in our workplaces, in our classrooms, whatever it is, that Jesus will lead them to that point, and all we need to do is bring them. But in our own lives, if there are things that we are struggling with, that we need to be led by God. We need to give up our own sense of leadership and our own sense of control and say, Jesus, you lead me because I don't know the way. No, there's no way this blind man knows where to go. So Jesus leads him. He leads him to the place where he can be healed. You know, I don't know if you, but you've ever woken up in the middle of the night and you need a drink of water or something, and you know, it's dark because it's the middle of the night. But you know, I've discovered this since getting married. You don't want to wake someone up. And so you don't turn on lights and make lots of noise, and it's dark. Yeah? Anyone else? And so you fumble around in the dark trying to figure out the way to get somewhere, yeah? And you run into things and you trip over, and it's just me. And other people just wake up. Oh, it is very clean. Our house is amazing. We rearranged our entire house yesterday so that we could fit everybody this week for kin. So that's great. It's good. It's going to be fun. Anyway, it's dark and you run into things, and it's the same with Jesus. You know, we try and lead our own way in the dark and when we're blind, and we run into stuff all the time, whether it's sin or the same temptations coming up again or things that distract us from his call or whatever it is. We need to be led by Jesus. And I think what's amazing about God and what's amazing about Jesus is that he wants to lead us. You know, these guys, they come and they bring their friend, but Jesus, I don't think Jesus needed to be begged to touch this guy. Jesus leads him to the place where he can be healed, amen? So he does that. So that was verse 23. He says, then when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He says, he looked up and he said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So the third thing that happens in this process of grace and salvation, because this story is a story that happened, but it's an illustration of the salvation of Jesus Christ and how each of us come to know God and what happens when we receive Him. And it's this process that all of us are on, and maybe we're all at different points on this journey, and everybody in the world is at a different point in this journey, but we're all on this, you know, process of salvation. Amen. And so He says He is healed. Yeah. You know, and it's strange, and this is like the only time that it happens in the Gospels, but this guy takes like two goes. You know, the first time Jesus spits on him and rubs his eyes and he says, "Can you see?" And he says, "I can see, but it's kind of blurry. You know, I can't really tell the difference between a guy and a tree because it's just like this thing there." And he can't see very well. And then Jesus, he says, he put his hands on him again and his sight is restored 100% and he can see everything clearly. And I was thinking about this week and what it means, because I don't think that Jesus needs two goes. I don't think that he's just was like a bit rusty at this point and was like, "Oh, I didn't quite get it right. All right, don't worry, I've got it. Don't worry, I can do it. Just trust me." And he does it again. Like, I don't think he was like just practicing on this guy and refining his healing technique. Like, he knows what to do. Jesus doesn't need two goes, but I think it speaks of the moment and the journey, if you like, in our own walk with God. And there's this point of grace in our lives where we are instantly saved, where we accept Jesus and he washes us clean and our life is forever changed and we can see. You know, we were blind, but we can see. And things, everything is different. It's that moment where you receive Jesus and you are saved. And that just happens in an instant. That's this moment of grace. But then there's this journey of lifelong discipleship where we learn to be more and more like Jesus, where we start to see more clearly. Are you with me? Is that all right? Yeah, I thought it was really good, so you can, you know, where we are saved in this instant and we can see what is going on, but it's blurry because we don't know Jesus well, because we haven't walked that road, because we don't, like, we haven't learned what it means to be a follower of Jesus and we don't know him. And so things are blurry, but then that light becomes clearer and clearer as we walk with him day by day. And I think this story in the Bible, and I don't know if that's why Jesus did it and it took him two goes. I'm not saying this is the definitive word on this passage. You can look it up for yourself, but I think it's really interesting that it shows us that salvation is this instantaneous moment, but it's also this journey that takes our whole lives. And then there's both of those things, yeah? And if we're called to be these people who bear light, then it needs to, you know, it's that moment where it shines in us and it shines through us, but then it becomes clearer and brighter and stronger as we follow God every day and we let it build and we learn to be more like Him. You know, that's the importance of having people in your life who can disciple you, who can mentor you, who you can mentor, who walk that journey with you. How it's not just about, all right, I'll bring a friend and hopefully they put their hand up and they say, "Yes, I accept Jesus," and that's it, because that's not it. You know, that's the start. That's the very start. You know, for this guy, the start of his journey is his eyes being healed. You know, that's the very start. And it's the same for us. It's the same for the people in our community and around the world. The start is that moment of salvation. And then it's a lifetime of discipleship, a lifetime of walking with God, of seeing more clearly, of understanding more, of getting more of God in our heart all the time. Yeah. And that's what we're called to do. And I think all of us are called to be that person for someone and to have that person be some of that for us as well. You know, to have someone who is discipling us and to be discipling someone. And that's what, you know, these kin groups and our life groups are about and everything that we do is about. And that's what is great about people all over the world like Tony and Annette, who not just are there to see a salvation and to see a hand raised, but to build into somebody's life every single day what it means to follow Jesus. And so there's this moment and there's this journey of healing in our lives. Is that all right? Cool. So we are brought, this man, he was brought before Jesus. His friends brought him because they knew that if they just got their friend to Jesus, he could do something amazing. And there are so many stories like that in the Bible. And when Jesus was around and walking around, of people who brought a friend because they knew the power of Jesus. And so we can be that person, and we are called to be those people, yeah, who bring. And he's led by Jesus. He's taken on this journey to this point of grace that he couldn't do by his own. He couldn't do it by himself, but he needed Jesus to do it. And so he's led, and then he is healed. And it's this amazing moment where he's touched by Jesus and where Jesus spits in his eyes. I don't know what that's about, but I think Jesus just did some stuff to, you know, fulfill some people's expectations. It's like, you know, I need something big to happen to get healed here, because I'm sure Jesus could have just said, you can see, and he's done. You know, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm sure he can do that. But there's this process anyway, and this the second kind of hands, and there's this moment, and there's this journey. And so he's healed. And then let's go to verse 26. It says, Jesus sent him home, saying, don't even go into the village. Now, there's a whole other aside. This place had seen all these miracles and was still, you know, not listening to Jesus. And so he's saying to him, you know, don't go back there, because everyone's seen enough. They don't need another one. They've heard. You know, but he says, but I'm not going to get into that. You can read that for yourself. But I want to focus on that. Jesus sent him home. You know, when we are brought and we are led by Jesus, and we are healed by Jesus, and then we are sent by Jesus. Amen. And we are sent into our world to be his witness and to be his light, and to tell people about the healing that he has given us. To be like the other blind guy, because Jesus healed a few of them, that says, I don't know, but I was blind and now I see. And that's our calling. And so Jesus sends him. And I think sometimes we get stuck on the led and the healed. And like, okay, I'm here, and Jesus led me to this point of grace, and I'm healed. And so now, Jesus, you can lead me again now. And Jesus will lead us, and he will guide us, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being handheld our whole lives, rather than Jesus wants to send us. He has a plan and he has a purpose, and we are saved for a reason. You know, our salvation is more than a seat in heaven, but it's a calling and a gifting and a job for us to do in this world. Yeah. And so we are sent, and maybe that sending is back into your workplace or into the university, or maybe it is to somewhere all over the world or all over the country or wherever it is. God is going to send you, and Jesus is going to send you, but we are sent by him. Amen. And when we are saved and we are healed, we are sent. So we don't just sit around, but we are sent by him. And to wherever that home is, you know, that place where you are, that place where you exist, that place that you occupy, that place that you hang out in and that you work, you know, we are on mission every day of our lives, but we are sent and called by Jesus to go and to make disciples. Amen. And so we aren't called just to sit. We don't just sit here and enjoy the fact that we can all see now. You know, he doesn't go and just hang out with the other ex-blind people and say, yeah, isn't it awesome that we can see? I can see you. Oh, I can see you. Oh, wow. You know, that's not what happens, you know. He is sent home. And it's the same for us. You know, we all have this unique calling and this unique place that we are sent to. And it's our job to do that and to go and to do that. So we are brought, we are led to that point of grace, we are healed, and we are sent. I want to finish with another story that is kind of similar. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Now this is the salvation, the spiritual awakening and healing of someone called Saul, whose name is then changed to Paul, who you might have heard of. He wrote most of the New Testament. And Saul is this guy that is legalistic and blind to who Jesus is, and is going around killing Christians, literally killing Christians, and all of this stuff. And he is going to this town in Damascus to persecute more Christians. That's what he's going there to do. And it says on the way he is stopped by this light. It's in verse 3 of Acts 9. So suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." It says the man traveling was speechless. They heard, but they couldn't see anything. And it says Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes to see, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. And he did not eat or drink anything. It says in Damascus there was this disciple named Ananias. And Jesus calls to him and calls him to go and to disciple Paul, basically, and to lay his hands on him and to heal him, and he's healed. And it's this really similar process, which is really interesting, where Saul and Paul is thinking that he can see, but he's actually blind. And so Jesus, to demonstrate that he is blind, I think, makes him really blind. So then he realizes that he doesn't know what's going on and that he is blind to what Jesus is doing and who Jesus is. And then he heals him of that blindness and he saves him. And then he is sent, he is called to be Jesus' witness to the Gentiles. Amen. And he becomes one of the first missionaries out of this amazing salvation experience where he is healed of his blindness and then sent into the world. Amen. And it's the same for us, and we are sent. You know, we are all here, you know, brought, led, healed, and sent. Where we are sent, you know, maybe some of us are sent right here in Wollongong, some of us are sent to the nations. And that's exciting and that's really awesome. But all of us have that call on our life, you know, to do something for God, and all of us are somewhere in this story, I think, where we are called to be sent. And just like Paul may be called to do something incredible for God, but all of us are called. Is that all right? Let's pray, eh? God, I just thank you for your healing power. That you sent Jesus so that while we were blind, we would be saved and we could see. God, thank you that we can see again. God, that we were blind in our sin, but now we can see because of your grace and your healing power. God, I pray that you would send us. God, I pray for people here, God, that you would just light a fire in their heart for the nations, a fresh calling for your will in their life. God, that your sending voice would be so clear to us, God, that we wouldn't be content to sit back and to be led again and again and healed again and again. But God, we would be led, we would be healed, and then we would be sent. And God, that you would just send us out. God, send us out from this place into our world. And God, into our nation, into the nations, God. And use us for your purpose and for your glory. God, thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you're speaking to us right now. God, I pray that you'd speak to us really clearly. God, that you'd just be putting things on people's hearts, sending them into their world, God. God, that we would be bringers. God, that we would see that this story played out in the lives of our friends and family. God, that we would see the story of this blind man happen in our lives and in the lives of our friends and the lives of people all over the globe. So God, use us to do that. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we finish, we pray this prayer every week, and I want to pray it again because I don't know where you're up to and where your heart is at right now. And I know everybody in the room, but I don't know what's in your heart. And so we pray this fresh every week because God's mercy is new every day. And so this is just asking Jesus to come into our life and heal us and open our eyes. So let's just pray this prayer together. It's on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.